Good evening. Serving by teaching the gospel here at Hope Community Reformed Presbyterian Church is an honor. And tonight we will explore Christ's meekness and gentleness in the first of the four servant songs found in the book of Isaiah and its fulfillment, which is in the Gospel of Matthew. In this servant song, Jesus is prophetically and poetically revealed to be the gentleness of God, the gentlest man ever. In the kingdom of the world, gentleness is often misinterpreted as weakness. But in the kingdom of God, gentleness is a sign of great strength, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And it has been my prayer and hope that tonight's lesson will remind you that Jesus cares deeply for you. No matter what circumstances or trials you may be going through, no matter how dark it may get, no matter how long the storm rages, or no matter the toll, Christ cares for you. So, with that said, I would invite you to turn to two places in your Bible this evening. I invite you to turn first to Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, found on page 765 in the Pew Bible, and then to its fulfillment in Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, which can be found on page 1038. And I invite those who feel comfortable with and who are able to stand, to stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And I say, hear now the infallible, the inerrant, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful, inspired, and authoritative word of God for you and me. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, God speaking, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. And the account of Jesus' fulfillment of this prophecy comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. He, Jesus, went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. He said to them, which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. And the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. This is the inspired word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, what we have not, please give us. And Holy Spirit, what we know not, please teach us. And Jesus, what we are not, please make us for your name's sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. On every page of the scriptures, God reveals to us not only something about himself in the first person of the Trinity as the Father, but also gives us knowledge of the person and the work of the second person of the Trinity, his Son, who here in our text tonight from the Gospel of Matthew, in his incarnation, appears before men. For the Christian to learn of Jesus is one of the highest goals of our education, that we might know him in the fullness of his majesty. The passages we have just heard are rich in revealing to us the identity of Jesus. So let us receive these words that I have read as God's inspired and holy word. God gave us the words I read tonight. They are for you. If you want to know or learn about Jesus or become a follower of Christ, we turn to the scriptures because Jesus is the Word of God. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the Word of God in John chapter 1, verse 14, which reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you want to know Jesus, go to his word. And if you want to become wise and knowledgeable of God, go to Christ, as Paul instructs us in Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to know the power of God in Christ and see the power of God in your life, go to the Word of God. It has power. Hebrews 1, verse 3 tells us that Christ upholds the universe by the Word of his power. Jesus is the most powerful man the world has ever known. And John gives us this prophetic word picture of the most powerful man ever. In his vision in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13, John sees and then writes, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a purple, in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God and the power and wisdom of God. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in tonight's lesson, we will see that Jesus is also the gentleness of God. The gentleness of the Lord God Almighty. In God's word, spoken through the prophet Isaiah more than 700 years before Jesus was born, we find Jesus will be the gentleness and meekness of God, which are powerful and wise, godly virtues. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God announces in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Three times the prophet tells us that this meek and gentle Messiah will bring and establish justice, or in Hebrew, mishpot, which usually is translated as judgment. Judgment to the people of this world. Christ is the Word of God and the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in our text tonight in Matthew 12, we will see that Christ is the gentleness, compassion, and meekness of God. God loves his people and sent Jesus to them, to us, the gentlest man who has ever lived. Jesus is the gentleness of God. We discover the gentleness of God in Christ as we unfold the words of Matthew. Now, in tonight's text in Matthew, we need to know that Jesus was disputing with the legalists or the Pharisees about the Sabbath. And he had just declared to the religious leaders or the Pharisees that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, although this argument is about the Jewish Sabbath, what Jesus is teaching us here by his word and spirit is not necessarily about Jewish Sabbath keeping, so to speak, but about the gentleness and meekness of Christ. He is the gentleness of God. But by contrast, the Pharisees were legalists. Legalism is when men take God's written law and add man-made rules to make the legalist look more righteous or more intelligent. It's a way of securing religious power over others. And at the beginning of chapter 12, we see Jesus' followers are hungry, so they go into a grain field and start eating bits of grain to revive their strength and satisfy their hunger. And the Pharisees, who care little about feeding the hungry, accuse these people of being law breakers. Jesus answers their accusations by showing the Pharisees that hungry people with no food are permitted to do things to eat on the Sabbath to satisfy their hunger and then gives the Pharisees examples from the scriptures. Jesus rebukes these unmerciful legalists first on an intellectual level and says to them, quoting Micah 6, verse 6, in Matthew 12, verses 7 and 8, "And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." If these Pharisees were interested in knowing how to keep the Sabbath correctly, they had the Lord of the Sabbath, the Word of God, standing right in front of them. Verses 9 and 10 continues. Jesus goes from one argument to the next. "He," Jesus, "went from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' So that they might accuse him." After Jesus rebukes these legalistic Pharisees for their lack of compassion and kindness and their ignorance of the spirit of the law of Moses, Jesus goes into their synagogue, where you can really get into an argument over God's word. And the Pharisees ask Jesus, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Now, the Pharisees really don't care about learning from Jesus. What they're doing is trying to set him up as a lawbreaker, a Jewish Sabbath lawbreaker, so that they can stone him to death. Now, it may be helpful to know at this point that the Pharisees were well-versed and followed a man-made Mishnah, or oral law, that the Jewish people falsely believe that God gave to Moses along with the written law at Mount Sinai. Now, the Jewish rabbis interpret the written law by the oral law, this man-made extra-biblical writing. And in Mishnah, what is called Yoma, chapter 8, verse 6, which the Pharisees would have been familiar with, they wouldn't have been familiar with the written, but they had the oral tradition, which said that healing or giving medicine to the sick is allowed if someone is in a life or death situation. The man with the withered hand was not in a life or death situation. So the Pharisees' argument would have been just wait until tomorrow to heal the man. But Jesus, the gentlest and most compassionate and meek man ever, responds to them in verse 11 and asks, "Which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?" What Jesus is really asking is this: is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do something evil? Evil because Jesus knew that these Pharisees would like to kill him. Is it lawful to do good? Is it lawful to save a life or to kill? Is it better to obey the letter of the law of Moses and the Mishnah strictly, or to obey the spirit of the law of God and let this sheep live? Now, by raising this question, Jesus will give the Pharisees a divinely inspired and definitive answer about healing and life-saving on the Jewish Sabbath that the rabbis and the Mishnah and later the Jewish Talmud and the Gemara go on and on at great length about, but never give and definitive answer, leaving the question in the air. And furthermore, Moses wrote in Exodus 23, verse 5, if you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it, with the burden. You shall rescue it with him. God is gentle and tender towards animals. A donkey fallen under his load will kick and wrestle until it dies. And a sheep that falls into a pit will claw and jump until it expires. Know that animals can't wait till after the Jewish Sabbath is over to be rescued. But let's think about this for another moment on another level. If God cares even for these animals, how much more did he care about the man with the shriveled arm? Or how much more does he care about you tonight? The psalmist asks, what is man that you are mindful of him? Well, God cares deeply for you. You are a redeemed image bearer of God who is being daily conformed to the image of his Son, the most gentle and compassionate person ever. And this gentle and compassionate Messiah gives the Pharisees a God-inspired answer to the Pharisees' quagmire and says, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus settles this Jewish question and then displays his compassion and gentleness towards man. Jesus does not want to fight or argue or yell or say he's gentle and compassionate, but he shows them. He shows them. Verse 13, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. And instead of being overjoyed at this man's healing, the Pharisees were mad. Verse 14 tells us the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus how to destroy him. These Jewish religious leaders didn't really care about people. They only cared about themselves and their man-made traditions and how they appeared. It was all a show to them. It was about popularity, making a name for themselves. Pharisaical Judaism was, and sometimes still is today, a form of celebrity, power, and a means to get money. And many of them only pretended to possess great intelligence. Remember, they wanted to kill Jesus. So in verse 15, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. He left the synagogue. Now, Jesus was not running away as a coward. Furthermore, Jesus knew that it was not yet time for him to die. And remember, Jesus was the wisest and most intelligent man ever. He was unafraid of the Pharisees' intelligence or their knowledge of the scriptures. Jesus is the word and the wisdom and the power of God. He could have easily defeated them. Jesus is the most powerful man ever. He could have engaged with them physically, calling down legions of angels to defend himself, but he didn't. He wanted to show his compassion. Remember, Jesus was something that the Pharisees were not. Jesus is the gentlest and most compassionate human ever. So many wanted to follow him. And what does Jesus do? He keeps on displaying his kindness and compassion in verse 15. And many followed him, and he healed them all. In verse 16, he ordered them not to make him known. Jesus did not want the credit. He did this quietly. He didn't like the cult of personality. Jesus was not selling any books or asking anybody for money. He was meek, humble, and had compassion for hurting people. And Jesus had to fulfill what the prophet had written about him in this servant song, as we find in verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Now, Jesus fulfills the Old Testament scriptures, and Matthew casts Jesus' work in light of Old Testament prophecies. So Jesus fulfills what Isaiah wrote about his meekness. Now, in the following four verses, which are the longest quotation of the Old Testament in Matthew's gospel, in verse 18, we will learn that the Messiah will bring justice to the earth. And in verse 19, we will learn that the Messiah will not cry out like a demagogue, but instead will do his work quietly and humbly. In verse 20, we will learn the Messiah will not trample on the weak, those who are poor in spirit. And finally, in verse 21, we will learn that the Messiah will bring salvation to the Gentiles. And it's well to note, as some of you have already discovered, that Matthew does not quote from the Hebrew Masoretic text that we see in the ESV translation, but instead loosely paraphrases the Greek Septuagint version with a few modifications and even omitting phrases that are found in Isaiah's Hebrew text. So let's look at these four verses of originally from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. By looking at the God-breathed, inspired scripture of Matthew 12, verse 18. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. So, how does Jesus fulfill this section? Jesus, the servant of God? Well, firstly, God makes a great announcement. In Isaiah's text, in Hebrew, it's chein. In Matthew's Greek, it's ido. Behold, behold, behold the man. Here he is. God appointed and anointed Jesus, the prophet, priest, king, savior, and Messiah. Behold, here is the chosen one who will keep all of God's laws perfectly, the chosen one who was sinless and will graciously give us his own righteousness by faith, the chosen one who bled and died on the cross, taking all of our punishment for breaking God's moral laws, the chosen one who stood in our place to receive the wrath of God, the wrath that everyone in here tonight deserves and has rightly earned. Secondly, it was at Jesus' baptism that the Father anointed him as the chosen one who would keep his law and give us the grace and faith we needed to be saved. Look at the second phrase in Matthew 12, verse 18. My beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. It was at Jesus' baptism, it says in Matthew 3, 17. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. And it was when John baptized Jesus that God put his spirit upon him. Isaiah's prophecy also tells us in the 18th verse, I will put my spirit upon him. Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism says in Matthew 3:16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. This part of Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled at Jesus' baptism, but the prophecy continues in verse 18. And he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. This third fulfillment is being fulfilled today before our eyes. Jesus will right all of our wrongs. Here, proclaim justice from the Hebrew in Isaiah's writing and Matthew's paraphrased interpretation of the Greek means nothing short of the proclamation of gospel truth. It's nothing less than putting God's plan for the redemption of his people into full effect by the preaching of the gospel, making the truth about the Lord known everywhere. Isaiah's prophecy continues in its fourth fulfillment in Matthew 12, verse 19. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Jesus debated and argued with the Pharisees, the religious and political leaders in the scriptures. When the debate got hot, Jesus did not. It wasn't his style. Jesus was the most intelligent and gentle and powerful man ever. Now, I've been in many arguments and debates in the Holy Land and in synagogues and yeshivas all over. And I find that the least powerful and least intelligent are the first ones to raise their voices, to become hotheads, and even become violent. Jesus didn't have to insult, yell, or scream. He is stronger and more intelligent than anyone. Yet, he is the gentlest and most compassionate, as we find in verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. Jesus' fifth fulfillment is prophetic and poetic, and it is good news for us today, because everyone in Christ is either a broken or a bruised person. And furthermore, every Christian's light is not burning as brightly as it should. A bruised reed he will not break. Reeds were and are plentiful in the Holy Land, and they were used sometimes to make flutes, and sometimes formed into writing instruments like pens. Now, reeds were abundant, so if you chose one with a weak spot, a blemish, or a bruise, you would break it and throw it away. Reeds are easily crushed. God, in this prophetic and poetic passage, is not talking about real reeds. He's speaking of bruised and hurting people. The truth be told, we are all hurt and easily crushed. Gentle Jesus is not breaking and throwing away hurt people. He has too much compassion for them. Maybe the flute that's playing your life song has recently turned into a dirge or a sad lament. Jesus is not going to break you, throw you away. Perhaps the pen that is writing your life story has recently writ a sad and gloomy chapter, maybe tragic. Jesus is not going to toss you aside. We are not in the kingdom of God because our lives are perfect. And everyone's light occasionally smolders, burns ever so faintly. Prophet says a smoldering wick he will not quench. Flax was used as a wick in ancient oil lamps. And when the fire hits the weak spot of the wick, the lamp gets dimmer and darker and smoky, and people's eyes burn and water, and sometimes they run away. But not Jesus. He won't run from you. A smoldering wick he will not quench. Jesus is the gentleness of God. Know that none of us will do what God has called us to do perfectly, but Jesus will not quench your light, put you out, or condemn you if you are in Christ, as Paul assures us in Romans 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus will not break you or snuff you out, nor will he condemn you. Jesus is gentle towards penitent sinners. The writer to the Hebrews says in the 13th chapter, the 5th verse, "For he, God, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus will not leave you no matter how bruised or accused or hurt you are. No matter how life or the world may break you, or no matter what the devil does, know that Jesus loves and justifies broken people. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verses 33 through 35, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Paul reassures us again in Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is gentle and loves the broken, the crushed, the outcast, the misfits, the oppressed, the sick, the downtrodden, and those who are hanging on by just a thread, and those who need another chance. God is the God of the second and the fourth and the sixth and the 600th chance. Jesus is the God of new tomorrows, of sheets wiped clean, of fresh beginnings and new doors with new opportunities. Verse 20 says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. Now the word translated justice in the ESV is the Greek word krisis. Krisis is where we get our word crisis from. Krisis can mean decision, accusation, damnation, condemnation. The truth of God in the gospel is that God takes the crisis of our inherited sinful nature of Adam and the crisis of our own sin and condemnation and brings it to victory in Christ. The idea that the message and the good news of a meek and gentle servant of God will bring justice and salvation to lost, broken, and oppressed people is paradoxical to this world. But the gospel will be victorious. The gospel truth shall not be defeated. The Messiah is not the conqueror that the Jewish people thought he should be and what the Pharisees expected, yet he will conquer. Though Jesus is gentle, compassionate, and meek, he is and will be victorious and is still victorious in our day. Look at the last verse. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Brothers and sisters, are you putting your trust and your hope in Jesus, the servant? A hope that is a real hope, a living hope, a lasting hope. Are you trusting and hoping in people, in cars, and status, in health, in houses, in politicians, in money, and in jobs? If you put your trust and hope in Jesus, the hope of eternal life, the hope of the resurrection at his appearing, the hope of appearing before God dressed in the righteousness of Christ, knowing that Jesus has paid all of the penalty for all the crisis of sin. The hope of knowing that he has taken the wrath of God in your place. To secure this hope, repent, turn from sin, turn to God, believe in the gospel and be saved. And this great promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Let us pray. Lord, help us to show meekness in everything we think, say, and do. May we, like Christ, show mercy, kindness, empathy, and gentleness. Help us to show compassion to the friend, the stranger, and even our worst enemy, so that we may show your gentleness to all. And thank you for your forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.